Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
You're on 101.9 Hi FM. This is Saul Rosenberg. This is the People in Perspective show. Thank you and welcome for joining us. This show is the people show on Hi FM. So we talk about HR stuff, and we normally have a law person looking at HR, law and labor law in the first part of the show. And then in the second part of the show, we have an interview with somebody who's an expert on people. And normally they have a psychology background, and we talk about sort of challenges that people are facing in the workplace and the opportunities that there are at the moment in the changing world of work, as work is rapidly evolving and people are evolving. We look at how the experts are giving us ideas and ways to cope with these new challenges that we have in our world of work. So robots and the hybrid working situations that we've been in. These are some of the topics that we've had AI experts, we've had psychologists on group work. So if this is the first time you're hearing the show, these are some of the things that we're talking about. And then in the last part of the show, we've got a jobs person who's going to come and talk. She is going to present some new jobs that have just come out on the market. So it's the recruitment segment, and she'll be joining us, that's Serena, in the last part. So first off, we've got Alex van Groening, who's an associate at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Saul, and hello to your listeners.
How are you?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Alex, thank you for joining us on the show. It's great to have you. Alex, we've had over the past couple of weeks in our show, we've had different labor experts talking about different pieces of legislation. So we did initially unpack the BCEA, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. And then last week, we did look at the LRA a little bit. But this week, we wanted to focus on the topic of wellness in the workplace. So it's an interesting question to ask, which legislation really, from a labor law point of view, is actually more focused on looking at the health of a person?
Thanks, Saul. That's an important question and a big one, so I'll do my best in unpacking it.
Mm.
I think the short answer is that the pieces of legislation that you've mentioned, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, the Labor Relations Act, another classic piece of employment legislation being the Employment Equity Act, don't necessarily express things on employee wellness, or at least in those terms. But they still say things or regulate matters that will impact the wellness of employees. Extending it a bit broader and talking about, as you say, the health of employees and the health and safety of employees, we of course have the Occupational Health and Safety Act, which requires employers to create a safe working environment for their employees.
Mm.
But in terms of wellness, as we're discussing it, I guess one has to determine what you mean by wellness. So definitely part of wellness would be that your employee is healthy and that you identify, dangers and hazards in the workplace that might be to the detriment of their health, and that your employee is safe, not only physically safe to perform their work. We have different employees performing different functions, and some functions may be more hazardous physically than others. But you also want to create an environment in the workplace that's psychologically safe for your employees, where they know what the rules are and they know who they're working with and how things work. But to come back to your question and to make it concrete for the listeners, I think it's useful to focus on some of the things that employment law regulates that has an impact on the wellness of employees. So one of those examples I can give you is that the Basic Conditions of Employment Act requires employers to regulate the working hours of employees in a way that has regard to their health and safety and to health and safety legislation. And the thinking behind that is, of course, that an employee needs to be able to, after the workday is finished, go home, rest, recover, and replenish their labor power before returning to their job the next day. And if you are consistently, you know, not being afforded the opportunity to do that and to rest and recover, your wellness is going to suffer. So these are some of the practical things that our labor legislation regulates that impacts on wellness, but certainly there's room to say more in our employment legislation on what to do and how to actively promote employee well-being in the workplace.
Yeah, it's. I mean, occupational health and safety seems to be more prescriptive in terms of guidelines and how to do things from a policy point of view. You know, but when it comes to individuals, it's, you know, their individual wellness. I would say HR is, you know, to some extent there is policy that's governing, you know, the employee wellness programs. How far does, you know, a company need to take its, you know, how far does a company take its intervention is probably governed by policy to some extent. You know, do you think it's a sort of a back and forward sort of, you know, if you're sitting in legal at, you know, at any company, you know, would you be looking at both policy and at legislation to look at wellness?
Absolutely. And, you know, because wellness may not be completely regulated and the rights aren't that defined yet, it becomes a matter of interest between the employer and the employee, as you correctly pointed out. And then that's regulated further in your employment contract, firstly, and then in the policies and procedures that are in place at your workplace. So employers are reaching out to third parties to help them look after their employees' well-being in the workplace and outside of the workplace. So you have organizations like ICAS and others who are an open line of communication or a place where employees can go and say, you know, my wellness is not doing well for X, Y, or Z reasons. What processes are in place or what's been provided by my employer to assist me with that? You know, some employers are even providing for the employees to go see a counselor or a psychologist at the employer's cost. And those kinds of things, while not being rights in employment legislation yet anyway, can be provided for in the policies that employers put in place to look after the wellness of their employees.
So those two things kind of overlap, it would seem, hey, Alex? So there'd be a bit of overlap, you know, so maybe some, it sounds like those two areas overlap in the workplace. You know, it's very interesting, you know, I'm talking to the listeners out there, if, you know, if anybody has areas that they've encountered where their personal wellness has come up for discussion with HR, ever since COVID, I'm sure there are lots of people out there who've had a wellness-related, you know, concern or issue. And essentially, you know, did HR help you with the law? Did you talk to legal about it? We'd be very interested to hear about that. You can reach us on 061-685-1019, 061-685-1019. Send us a message, and you know, people like Alex and I and our guests, we'd love to know what's been going on in your work life, you know, essentially, you know, what has been happening in wellness. Are you being taken care of? Do you think that more could be done? Alex, what about maternity and paternity leave and that kind of and personal illness? You know, that the clauses that talk about the ability of a person to do the job, you know, those, there's a lot of that in the LRA, isn't there?
Yeah, so you raise a lot of interesting stuff, so I'll take them one by one. So in terms of the leave that the BCA provides, you specifically referring to maternity and parental leave. As things stand, you have 4 months of consecutive maternity leave for the birthing mother, and then 10 consecutive days of parental leave for the second parent, if you're talking about two parents raising a child. Mm. There's been some movement there, and I'm sure your listeners will be aware of this, with the High Court case of Van Wyk versus the Minister of Labour that's challenging some of the provisions in the Basic Conditions of Employment Act as it relates to maternity and parental leave. Firstly, on the basis that it discriminates unfairly against mothers and fathers in how they're able to take leave and the amount of leave they're able to take.
Yeah.
And then also between different kinds of parents. Everyone doesn't give birth to a child. People may wish to adopt have a surrogacy agreement in place. So those are things that are being looked at, but as things stand, the BCA has changed, and the Constitutional Court will have to look at that High Court decision and see to which extent it can confirm it. And there's still some work to do in terms of exactly how the BCA is going to be amended. But there's definitely room for, you know, affording more flexibility to parents to decide exactly how they take their leave and who takes the leave to care for the newborn child.
That is fascinating. The whole idea of choice, it's huge at the moment, especially in things that are happening politically and elections. To give people the power of choice over their decisions. Alex, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have you on the show again soon, I'm sure. Your input is very valuable. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Flo. It was a lot of fun talking to you, and thanks for your listeners for having me.
Great. Take care. Thank you.